Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good evening, Valley Bible Fellowship. God is good, amen? And sometimes it's just good to say that. You know, God is good. And we don't always know that every single moment of the day. And we don't even know that, especially in the hardest moments of our day. But it is true nonetheless. And sometimes it's just good just to remind ourselves of that, that He is good. And so whatever it is that you're going through, whatever trials, maybe you've just made it out of a trial, maybe you're in the middle of a trial, maybe that's why you're here tonight, is because, yeah, Tom, I'm in the thick of it right now. He is still good. And it is probably just a matter of Him trying to make you stronger in whatever process that you're going through. And I've got tonight's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be real simple, but it is, you guys, we are a part of a very cool individual church. The church as a whole, all across the world, is an amazing thing to be a part of, but just our church alone, I want to brag on our worship team. And it's going to be a little bit weird because I'm also on the worship team. And so, but man, we just had our last night of worship for the year. And it was, dude, we told ourselves we are going to, we're going to do it once a month, every month for a whole year. And and basically, you know, just the idea of accomplishing that. And then at our last one, like with each night of worship that we had, we were learning something. As a worship team, we were learning something from God. We were learning about where He was at in the things we were going through. We were learning about how to truly worship, though I don't know the exact year that everybody has as far as worshiping. But man, you know, you think that you know how to worship, and then God, you know, kind of just opens your eyes to a few things. And so at our last night of worship on Sunday, just in incredible, but we finally made the announcement, and I'm intentionally making that announcement here today so that you guys can help us out with that. We're gonna officially start writing our own worship music because God is doing something very special just with our worship team alone. Yes, is everybody talented? Yes, absolutely. But just the very hearts that the team has, and so it's just this amazing opportunity. But we tell you so that you can keep us accountable. No joke, our worship night was on Sunday, and then Monday, like mid-afternoon, I had someone call me and be like, hey, I can't find your guys' album on Spotify. Where is it? And I was like, okay, chill. I get it. You're holding us accountable. But it's just amazing what we get to be a part of, and that includes you. Because, I mean, if you really think about it, if it was just the band in a room singing, I mean, that'd be cool, like, right? Like, that's okay. But it doesn't mean half as much as what it means when it's all of us together. And I need to make this a very specific point because I think sometimes worship gets done with and you're like, okay, cool, now let me hear from God. But I truly believe that you could have, or maybe you already have, heard from the Lord in the middle of worship. I truly believe that if we come here tonight and we are in desperate need for God, things might be fine. Your life might be great. Bank accounts, you know, awesome. Your health is great. Everybody that you love is alive and healthy and thriving. You know, things might be going well for you, but there's got to be something. Not necessarily that something's wrong, but something that you can improve on. You know, is there a worry that you've been carrying? But you've got it under control because you know how to manage. But at the same time, the Bible tells us that we shouldn't worry about anything But in everything, we're supposed to give these things to God, right? So maybe during worship, you know, everything was going good and you're leaning into the words that were being said. And now it's like, okay, now let me hear from God from this guy that's up here talking. Number one, that's crazy pressure on me. I'm just going to say it. Like, I'm just like you, just now, I think, officially 3 feet taller. Like, I'm just like you. But this idea that the church body, and I think this will be my underlining message to the day that I die. Like, it's the power of the church. It's not the one guy or the one gal. It's not, you know, we haven't made it. Like, let's just say God, you know, totally anoints our worship team and, you know, the songs that we write here end up going out to the masses and you know, we're changing the world. It's not once we get to that it's like, oh, finally God's anointing has been brought to our church. That's not it. It's right here. It's right now. It's in the mundane. It's in the every single day. It's in the little trivial things. It's in the high moments. It's in the low moments. Like, God is so near to us in every moment that it doesn't need to be this, you know, flag waving, tongue speaking, glitter falling from the sky, like packed out stadium for finally God's here. We packed out a stadium. It's right here and it's right now. And that's so important because, you know, it's interesting. Like, I have a Bible study in the morning and we were talking about how we tend to kind of beat ourselves up. You know, if God qualifies us, we do a really good job of saying like, hey, no, God, not necessarily. All throughout scripture, like even in the book of Ephesians, which we've been going through for the last, I don't even know how long, but we're doing a great job at staying in it. And just this whole idea that like God wants to use you and I. And I'll have conversations with people and, dude, the pedestal that some people put me on. And I'm like, if you only had access to my thoughts, if you only knew the things that made me mad, the things that really like set me off, the little stupid little comments that I'll make in my head that I'm like, yo, hey, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's 100% Tom. Like this idea that we've got to understand that we are still human beings, but the goal is for us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. To keep our eyes fixed, like Colossians 3:2 says, on things above and not on earthly things. You know, because so long I've seen so many churches just fall away because the senior pastor or the lead pastor or the worship leader or somebody did something and, oh, you know, well, I can't go to that church anymore. I can't do this anymore. I can't attend church anymore simply because of the fact that this thing happened. It's like, it sounds like you had a lot of belief in that person rather than the Savior and the one who created you, right? Like, so as we're reading here today, like it's going to be something that Paul addresses very clearly, that you and I are supposed to live to a specific standard, but it will be nearly impossible if you keep your eyes fixed on the human being that stands on this stage. It's going to be nearly impossible. And so I want to start out with a verse that comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 8, and it says this: the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Even if it's 2023 and they're trying to change the definition of words, okay? God's word stands, it's true, it will always be true. You can't manipulate it, you can't change it. It is truth. Now, something I want to share that we've been doing, not necessarily a new thing with my kids, but something that we've been really trying to hit hard with is brushing their teeth, okay? Now, I've got a 3-year-old, I got a 6-year-old. The 6-year-old, she's been brushing her teeth for a while. My 3-year-old, he's kind of like getting the concept. However, toothpaste goes on the toothbrush, it goes in his mouth, and he drinks it. Like, he sucks it down. And it's like, son, you can't do that. That's not brushing your teeth. And he's like, but I am. And it's like, okay, that's not how that works, right? So I got to teach him, and I got to work with him or whatever. And then my daughter, you know, it's like bad whatever corrupts good morals, right? Like bad, you know, whatever. And so my daughter's starting to see like, hey, dang, like my brother can get away with that. I don't got to brush my teeth as long. Like he only sucks down the toothpaste. And so now her brushing of the teeth is compromised, right? And so, you know, trying to teach your kid how to brush their teeth, it can be a very daunting task. Like, because let's face it, everybody in here has a different way of brushing your teeth. You might sing the ABCs, which is what we do in the house. You might just go and you're like, okay, I got this part, I got that part, I got this part, I got that part, I worked the front, now you're done. Everybody has a different way. But to tell my son, like son, to tell my daughter, baby girl, this is how you brush it. You go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's not how it works for everybody. It's different for everybody. So tonight, when I share the word with you, what the word of God says, it's going to be different for everybody, but just brush your teeth, okay? Brush your teeth. Don't worry about like, but am I supposed to do it like this? Am I supposed to? And then what about the tongue? Do I get my tongue? Brush your teeth, okay? When the night is over, just remember to brush your teeth. Okay, it's the simplest way that I can say that to you. Because yes, you're going to have a different way of hearing what I'm about to say. That's kind of the point. We're all different people. But live out what it is that the Bible is telling us to do for the time that we gather here tonight. Okay? Just live it out. Brush your teeth. Okay, so we are going to be starting in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4. Pastor Hector ended us at verse 16 the last time, or the 2 Wednesdays ago. And we're starting out, and it's already on the screen. So let's do this. So Paul's writing, he says, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness." We're going to pause right there. So Paul starts us out and he says, hey, you can't walk like the rest of the world walks. You can't live the way that the rest of the world lives. And that stings. Because we're in the holiday season now. Kern County Fair is over. Pumpkin spice lattes have dropped. We're there now. It's a little while before creme brulee is out. And then it's just game on. And we're basically the happiest we'll ever be. But still, we cannot justify living and looking so closely to the world. Like, we can't do that. You can't expect to serve God and hear God's voice and think about the things that God thinks about and be concerned about the things that God thinks about when we're too caught up finding out what the Kardashians are doing. My wife asked me the other day, she said, "Did you hear about the gossip that's going on with so-and-so and so-and-so?" I said, "Absolutely not. I have no idea what's going on." Now that makes my wife look really bad, and she's not. I just realized she's probably watching, and I love you. But that just happened. It literally happened yesterday. But this whole idea, like Paul is writing and saying, listen, you can't look like the rest of the world. You can't. We've got to think about the things that God wants us to think about. And I want to break down a couple of these words here because there was a big word that was used. Futility. It's like, oh yeah, of course I know what that is, but Tom, just define it for me if you don't mind. Because it says, don't walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, which means to be turned away from what is right or good. Hello, 2023. We don't know what gender is anymore. We have no idea. Certain words are beginning to change. And when we just go, now, in church, we don't want to offend anybody. You're the one who walked into the beehive. You're going to get stung. It's like you didn't know what you were getting yourself into. We're all trying to be better people. Every single person in here, you should walk out being like, okay, I didn't see that left hook coming. Okay, I got to get my life together. Brush my teeth. Get it. I got to change some things. But that's the whole point. And if we continue to look so much like the world, we are going to fall into the same thing that Paul is saying here. The futility of their minds. This is a terrible place to be. This is a terrible thing that makes all the calls and all the shots. Because you know how easily this is influenced by food? Just by food alone. When was the last time you fasted? Right? And what's so crazy is in scripture, Jesus' disciples are called out for not fasting. And they go, why don't your disciples fast? Jesus says, because I'm already here. Oh, shoot. What does that mean then? If you feel distant from God, simply just stop eating. And God's like, hey, what's up? I'm here. You needed me? And we're like, oh, well, I got to have my coffee in the morning. I've got to have bread, right? And this is what we do. And this is why he says, don't look like the rest of the world. So it also says here in verse 18, being darkened in their understanding means that they are blind. That word darken means that they are blind in their understanding. This should help us all out so much when we're dealing with these types of people. Oh, but they made fun of me. They called me a Bible thumper. They don't want to go to church. They stopped following me on Instagram and Facebook. Yeah, it's because their mind, they can't understand what you're doing. It's that simple. You're trying to win people that are blind. And you know what the craziest thing about being blind is? I have never known of a blind person to keep showing up into a building and eventually their eyesight is restored. I don't know about any blind person going to a group of five or more people to read from a book and eventually their blindness is gone. The only time I know of people that were once blind that can now see is when they have an encounter with Jesus Christ. The blind, you can't just keep dragging them into church and just one day they'll change. One day. They have to have an encounter with Jesus. Every single one of them has to have an encounter with Jesus. I was talking with somebody, for those of you that are new, I'm the Northwest Campus pastor, and I know somebody, thank you, and I know somebody who's at that campus who was telling me about how he, God was a thing or whatever, but he had to get into a car accident for him to realize like, yo, okay, God, I get it. Because this guy should have died. This dude rolled his truck. This dude was in a ditch. This dude should have died. And sometimes, yeah, it does take these moments where you go, there's no reason why I should be alive. There's no reason why my life should be like this. There's no reason why I should be given this chance again. I realize, God, that you're real. And it's not necessarily gonna come from us, you know, Bible thumping them. It's not gonna come, well, Tom, are you telling us not to evangelize? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm talking about you personally. Don't take it so personal. Don't get so beat up and throw in the towel because, you know, no one follows you ever since you started, you know, posting about Jesus. It's God who causes the growth. It's God who causes the growth. So Paul continues. And we're going to be in verse 20, if you would. In verse 20. Cool. It says, but you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. Truth is in Jesus. Truth does not come from philosophers, it doesn't come from professors, it doesn't come from your mama, it comes from Jesus. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. Can I define that for a second? Old self is you before salvation. If you've picked up those old habits, that's old self. That's the dog returning to its vomit. That's the old self. But we were a thing in high school. It'll land. It's the Holy Spirit's moving, helping everybody understand that for a second. Which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. In verse 23, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Listen, I said, it's going to be real simple. Just brush your teeth. Like, just what the word is saying. And there were a couple of words that I needed to break down, sure. But it doesn't get any more simple than that. And don't worry, I'll break it down a little bit more. But it doesn't get any simpler than that. Paul is writing. He's like, hey, listen, you can't look like the rest of the world if you're going to follow Christ. You just can't. But it's hard. I'm a new believer. No, I know. I get it. What you signed up for, Jesus calls carrying your cross. What you signed up for was being discipled by the most holy being that we will ever be in the presence of while you are still in a corrupt, sinful world with corrupt, sinful people around you. So of course it's not going to be easy, but it is doable. It is. We can do this. Every single one of us. Now, I do need to emphasize, it is about growth. It's so like a crazy thought. Should the Lord give us 3 more years, every single person in here, I don't know, I see some gray hair, so I don't know how much time God gave you, but I'm just saying, like, you know, 3 more years is a safe bet for everybody probably in this place. If God allows us 3 more years, you will probably in those 3 years look back at the current state of your relationship with Christ and go, I cannot believe I thought like that. I can't believe I saw God like that. Because I look back and I go, oh, dang, really, Tom? You thought that? You believed that. And you know what I've never heard from God? Him go, yeah, you were wrong the whole time. You know what I did see? Is like the way that you and I, we treat our kids, we're just patient with them. And we go, listen, I would really love to not have to always dress you. But I get it, you're little, you don't fully understand it yet. Should you know how to do this thing by now? Maybe. But you know what, you're still just this years old. I'm gonna help you out still. I'm gonna guide you through it. Because that's what a good mom and dad does. You're patient with them. But where do we get that from? We get it from him. He's patient with us. And so yeah, sure, 3 years, you're gonna look back at yourself, you're gonna be like, oh, yikes. I was wrong. But God, why didn't you tell me I was wrong? And he'll respond, because you couldn't take it yet. You're fragile. I was just so proud that you were showing up. With the Kern County Fair that was here, there was that VBF night out when we all went out to the fair and Corey Asbury was singing and he starts talking about King David. And he says, you know, David, that dude was jacked up. Like, that guy made a lot of mistakes. But he would always, after his mistake, would go right back to God. Whether he deserved it or not, he knew that he could always go to God. And for that, he's infamous for being the man after God's own heart. But he also slept with that one chick, killed her husband. That, hold on, Lord, that doesn't compute. Like, why you let him get away with that? I had somebody ask me the other day, you know, I've got a coworker and they're telling me, or they're asking me, like, if there's a murderer, if they repented, would God still let them into heaven? And then you got somebody who's never done anything bad, but they don't believe in God, would then they still get into heaven? And my response is, because I mean, we've all had that thought, right? Scripture makes it pretty clear, is that if you and I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we don't get into heaven. Now, I know that that's like, oh, wait a second. I don't know if I know Jesus like that. No, it's pretty clear if you know Jesus like that. Are you constantly aware that he is in heaven? One day you are going to see him, and that alters the way that you live your life? Because there are some people that are just like, oh, I'm just going to be forgiven one day. I can sleep with whoever, drink whatever, do whatever. One day, all I got to do on my deathbed is just say sorry. Those are the people that don't get in. Because it's the relationship. In scripture, Jesus is actually asked that, or it gives an example of this. It says there will be people that at the end, they'll say, Lord, Lord, let us get into heaven. Because weren't we at your table? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we prophesy in your name? And Jesus's response is, depart from me. I never knew you. Not, wow, look at all the things you did for me. Tom, the thief on the cross. Well, we can't forget that the scriptures also say anyone who confesses with their heart, or sorry, with their mouth, and believes in their heart, right? There's something on the inside. This thief on the cross had no reason to believe that Jesus was who he said that he was, because he was dying right alongside him. But there was something that he said, I believe that you are who you say that you are. And if I would get off of this cross, there's no doubt in my mind that that guy's life wouldn't have been changed. There's no doubt in my mind that he wouldn't have like gotten baptized. He would, things would have changed because something was already changing within him. But to say that it's not about knowing who Jesus is, not in having that relationship with the Father, knowing what his voice sounds like. You and I, we are supposed to know what his voice sounds like. It says that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. We have to know his voice. You can't just have like the fattest King James Bible sitting on your coffee table and be like, look at me, dude. I haven't cracked it open, but man, it's big. That can't be how we live. You can't live through your mom and dad's faith. You can't live through Pastor Ron's faith. Remember how in the beginning I was like, hey, don't, you know, see how it's all coming back full circle? You see what I'm saying? It's like almost like I prepared this or something. But it's like, it really comes down to that. Now, in the context of what we've been reading, Paul is making it clear. But I do just want to reiterate this. I'm going to start back room. I did not give you this all on purpose. Now, I'm reading this from a translation that some people in here, you know, you might not agree with it, and I'm sorry, but brownie points for you in heaven, I'm sure. Starting at the beginning of chapter 4, because this is the chapter we're in, right? And so today we started in 16. But I want to, because sometimes if you're anything like me, you kind of just read a verse, and you're like, man, that was so powerful, and that was so great. But in the context of the chapter or the book, makes it even better. So I want to read this to you in a different translation. This is at the beginning. So if you would, feel free. You don't got it. There's nothing on the screen that's going to be what I'm reading. You could close your eyes. You could just think about it. You could look down so that way you don't fall asleep if you've had a long day. You do whatever it is you need to do. But I just want to read this to us. This is the beginning of chapter 4. So Paul writes, in light of all of this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run. On the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline. Not in fits and in starts, but steadily, pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction, so stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, you have one faith, you have one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. But that doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given his own gift. For the text says this: he climbed the high mountain and he captured the enemy and seized the plunder. He handed it all out in gifts to the people. Is this not true that the one who climbed up also climbed down, down to the valley of earth? And the one who climbed down is the one who climbed back up, up to the highest heaven? He handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with his gifts, filled earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher to train Christ followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive in Christ. No prolonged infancies among us. Please, we'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are easy prey for predators. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love. Like Christ in everything, we take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. And so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, the mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch, not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that's no life for you. You learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, being well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with the old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character within you. And it is that simple. And I just, you know, during worship, I got to be here. And man, it's so powerful being in a room of believers. It is so powerful. And the craziest part is I think there are more believers that you are around than you realize. Because I was wearing, you know, on the VBF night at the fair, we were wearing those Live Like Jesus shirts. I got so many compliments about that shirt. So many compliments. Because you just know that there are so many more people, despite what the news says, whichever station you watch, despite what they say, the world is in need, desperate need of the news that we have. They're in desperate need of what we know. So the longer that you disqualify yourself, the more that the enemy wins. Because we are all disqualified. We never went to school for this. It's like being a parent. You don't know what you're doing. You're doing the best that you can. But like those scriptures say, keep walking, keep going after God, keep leaning on him. Because there is, God tells us in Romans 8:28, he is working all, everything. The good feels good, but the bad as well. He's working it all out for our good. For our good. So my prayer for you, my legitimate prayer for you, is that tonight we would do the things that the Bible talked about. We were here for a reason. This was the message for a reason. I wanted to stop at 19. The Lord is like, uh-uh, keep going. I was like, well, that's going to be long. And he said, shut up and do it. But it is that simple. Now, he didn't say shut up. But it is that simple. Tonight, we will have prayer people up at the front. If you need it, get it. You're not too cool for prayer. So if you would, bow your heads and we'll pray this. Father, thank you so much for this. These people, this opportunity, but the message that we get to celebrate here together. God, I just pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you would remind us of this specifically every day. We need you, God, so badly. And thank you that you would move in a place like this with people like us to prove, God, that you are the one that has it all together. And it's not us. It doesn't need to be us. We just need to know you. And we as a church will work in rhythm together. I pray for those who have been hurt by your church, God. Remind them that that was just people and that wasn't you. I pray for those that are broken. I pray for those that are hurting, that they would know how near you are. And I lift up those that things are going good. Father, use them. Help them to be the light. Help them to give you the glory. Remind them that it all comes from you. Father, for those that need to get their lives right with you, to receive your Holy Spirit, give them the strength to come up and get that prayer, to say those words, to leave here forever changed, to be a part of the family that you started on this side of heaven. Thank you in advance, God, for adding to the number that we will be worshiping you in heaven with. Thank you for bringing them here tonight. It's not an accident that they're here. You allowed them. You made the way. You orchestrated their path because you care about them that much. You are the good shepherd. You are the good father. And we just thank you, God, for who you are. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great rest of your night, guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our